You will turn with me now to Ephesians chapter 6. Let me read from verse 1 to verse 3. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Amen. As we saw last time in this epistle, Paul deals with the doctrine of the church. And Paul applies this doctrine to the Christian life, which is to be a life of unity. We saw that in chapter 4, verse 3. We are to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. This is how we walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. That unity involves everyone observing his or her particular place and particular calling. Chapter 4, verse 7, unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. We have a particular calling, we have particular gifts, we are to exercise those gifts in fulfillment of that calling. That requires us to put off the old man and to put on the new. Chapter 4, verse 22, 23, and 24. The old man is full of deceit, full of anger, full of malice. All these things endanger the unity that is to be found in the body of Christ, in the church. We see that this unity applies not just to the church, but also to the family, the Christian family. Once again, that unity comes when each one observes his or her proper place and calling. And last week, we applied that to the husband and the wife. There, this unity is especially important because it reflects the union between Christ and his bride, between Christ and the church. Now, as we come to chapter 6, Paul turns to the other relational dynamic in the family. That is the relation between parents and children. We see the same basic concept underlying this. Children have their place, parents have their place according to God's design. And when the children keep to their place and observe their calling as children, when the parents keep to their place and observe their calling as parents, then the family, the home is well ordered, properly functioning, and then glory is brought to God. So we want to consider today, in this session and the next one, this issue of the Christian home, how we can minister to parents as children and how we can minister to children as parents. And this is a very crucial topic because as we look at the world around us, we see this great tragedy of broken homes, dysfunctional homes, families that are not rightly ordered according to God's design. And inasmuch as the family is the basic unit of society, there's perhaps nothing more widely damaging to all of us than this breakdown of the family. But this is part of our fallenness. As fallen creatures, our tendency is to go against the will of God. And we see such self-will everywhere, driving people against God's will for the family. And this is what lies at the root of so many problems in our society. This is tragic. It's unsurprising, though, when it comes to the world. But the question for us especially is, what about Christians? What about the Christian home? What about Christian families? What about God's kingdom? What should things be like in the kingdom of God? God's kingdom refers to that realm where his will is submitted to joyfully, where his rule, where his authority is embraced. In Christ, we are redeemed from the bondage of sin. We are rescued from the corruption and darkness of sin. We are renewed in knowledge and true holiness. We have the new man. Again, chapter 4, verse 24, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And we ought to see this redemption at work, not just in our hearts as individuals, but in our homes as well. A Christian home is therefore a beacon of light in a world that is full of darkness. A Christian home shines out as a witness and testimony to the power of God, the power of the gospel to transform, to change lives, to renew the mind. A Christian home is a witness to the world of the goodness of God's plan and God's design. So what should a Christian home look like? The context here in Ephesians 6 again speaks of the Christian home in terms of order and duty. A Christian home is a place where everyone submits to the plan and the will of God. In that sense, a Christian home really is an outpost of God's kingdom. The kingdom of God, again, is that realm where his authority is submitted to willingly and joyfully. And a Christian home is an outpost of the kingdom. It's like an advance post showing the world this is what things will be like when God's kingdom comes in its fullness, when the Lord Jesus reigns on earth, when the whole world is filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. That's what the prophet Isaiah tells us. That's what God tells us is going to come. The Christian home is a foretaste of that. This is what things will be like: the peace, the order, the joy when God rules in every heart. And so in a Christian home, there is a duty for children and there is a duty for parents. We consider, first of all, the duty for children in ministering to their parents according to the will of God. We see some basic principles for this passage in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1-3. And after that, we'll consider also some other portions of Scripture which can apply to us in our particular situation. We're not all in the situation of being young children in a home with parents. So there's instruction from the rest of Scripture, which we will come to later on. But the basic principles are here, and this is what we have to consider first of all. So again, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. We see here that the proper place of children in the home is characterized by obedience. Children, obey your parents. That's God's instruction for the children. This obedience is directed to parents. Children, obey your parents. That's already instructive for us. It reminds us of this special family relationship that God has instituted. Children have many authority figures in their lives, right? You have teachers in school. You have grandparents, maybe. You have helpers. There are other authority figures in the child's life. But the parental authority is primary. That's God's design. Children, obey your parents. At the same time, this obedience is directed to parents only in the Lord. Obey your parents in the Lord. The Lord is still supreme. Now, this is similar to what we saw earlier with respect to the husband and the wife. The wife submits to the husband in the Lord, or as unto the Lord. Here, the children submit to their parents in the Lord. And this means that parental authority is not something that needs to be earned. And this is not, of course, to say that parents have no responsibility. Parents can do what they like. That's obviously not true. And we'll get to the duty of parents later on. But the point is that children are to obey their parents, even though their parents are not perfect, even though parents make mistakes, even though parents have flaws and weaknesses and failings. Still, the duty is, children, obey your parents in the Lord. And this is something that we find throughout Scripture. God's order, God's design is put into place. God has placed some above and some in subordination. And we are to render obedience to those to whom obedience is due because of God's design. And we are to do that even though these people may not show themselves fully worthy of that obedience. We don't measure or proportion our obedience according to how we feel those in authority are doing. So it is not for children to say, well, I think my parents are not very good, I don't like them, so I'm not going to obey them. I don't agree with my parents, so I'm not going to obey them. I think it should be done a different way, so I'm not going to listen to my parents. It is not for the child to say that. The instruction is, children, obey your parents in the Lord. You obey your parents not because you like them or because you think they're doing a good job, but because it is God's will. Of course, you should like them and love them, and hopefully you do think they're doing a good job. But that's not the basis of your obedience. Your obedience does not depend on those things. It depends on God, on God's will, on God's instruction. But this command also means that there is an authority above the parents. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Where there is a conflict, it is God who must be obeyed above all. We ought to obey God rather than men, as the apostles remind us. So where there is a conflict and where the parent commands or instructs something that is contrary to God's will, the child's duty is to God first. But that never means dishonor. It never means disrespect to the parents. Still, this is the basic principle. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Now, the Apostle Paul goes on to give two reasons for this obedience, two reasons for this duty of obedience. First, we find at the end of verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That's the first reason, because it is right. In other words, because it is in accordance with God's law. We find this in the Ten Commandments. Honor thy father and mother. That's God's command. That's God's moral law that is meant to order all of human society. It is right for children to obey and honor their parents. If you look at the Old Testament, if you look at Exodus 21, you find applications of this moral law to the civil society of Israel. And you see there how this duty of obedience and honor is applied. Exodus 21, verse 15. Exodus 21, verse 15. He that smiteth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. Verse 17. He that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. If you look at Leviticus chapter 19, Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 1. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Ye shall fear every man, his mother and his father, and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. You see here, God's instruction and God's command. I am the Lord, I am holy. This is how you are to be holy. Fear your mother, fear your father, honor them, respect them, obey them. And in that society of Israel, in the nation of Israel, a nation governed by God's law, it was punishable by death. That shows us how seriously God takes this instruction. If a man or a woman shows disrespect to his or her parents, smites the parents, curses the parents, it was punishable by death. It was a serious thing. It was not something to be overlooked. Now, of course, we are not bound by the civil law of Israel. We are not the nation of Israel. But the principle applies. The seriousness applies. So when Paul says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, that should be motive enough for one who truly loves the Lord. One who desires to submit to God's will and God's design, it should be enough to say, this is what the Lord wants. This is how God wants me to live. This is how God wants me to treat my parents. And a child who loves the Lord will honor his or her parents. They will respect them. They will regard them highly. They will not murmur against their parents. They will not complain against their parents, even in their hearts. Or to their friends. This is something that we hear very often today. It's very common for children to disparage their parents and to say, oh, my parents do this, my parents do that, my parents don't allow this or don't allow that, my parents don't know this or don't know that. But when we honor and respect our parents, when we respect God's command and instruction for how we are to treat our parents, then we must value their wisdom and counsel. We must not look down on them. We must not despise them. We must not lightly dismiss what our parents say. And I think we are especially in this condition because of how quickly we are advancing in technology, in our modern society. It's very common for children to be far more advanced technologically than their parents, isn't it? I remember the first time I got a phone in secondary school. It was huge. It was like this big. And all it could do was make calls. You could send messages, but there was only enough space on that phone for 15 messages. So that was all the messages I could keep. I couldn't keep. Nowadays, it's basically unlimited, right? But in those days, I had to decide, I want to keep this message short. So I have to delete some others to make space for new messages to come in. Things have advanced so quickly. And children pick them up very quickly. My daughter, for example, very quickly has figured out how to unlock the phone and how to do things on the phone. We never taught her this. In fact, we try not to show her what we're doing. Somehow she's figured it out. Children are very quicker than parents. And so children know all these things, and their parents don't know them. And I think it's becoming common for children today to look down on their parents. Oh, I can do all these things. My parents can't even send an email. They have to call me and ask me to do all these things. My parents don't know anything. And we tend to look down on parents because they're not as well-versed as we are in some of these things. But we need to realize in this age of technological advancement, the ability to take a selfie and post it on Instagram is not the pinnacle of wisdom. It's not the height of human achievement. Your parents know a great deal that you may not know. Your parents have great wisdom and experience in things that are far more important and far more consequential. So we should not look down on our parents, but we should rather respect them and value their wisdom and counsel. Part of this command, honor thy father and mother, is to seek our parents' wisdom, to ask them for advice, and to take seriously the advice that they give. Talk to them, rather than assume that we must know better than them. What we see in many families is not right. Children who don't obey their parents, children who are riotous and unruly. And this is characteristic of the last days. If you look at 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. You see here in that list of sinful and depraved and wicked things, disobedient to parents. This is what the last days will be like. And disobedience to parents is not a small thing to be dismissed. It's associated with these other things. It's already a manifestation of rebellion against God's authority. So that's the first reason that the apostle gives. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. But there's another reason. Not only is it right, it is also rewarded. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. When we honor our parents, when we obey our parents, this is God's promise, a promise of long life and prosperity. This is very remarkable. But how are we to understand this? Paul calls this a promise. Does that mean it will definitely happen? If you honor your father and your mother, you will definitely live long. You'll definitely have a prosperous life. But our experience seems to contradict this. Not everyone who honors his parents automatically lives a long time. And it doesn't mean that if someone does not have a long life, then he must not have honored his parents. We don't make that kind of equation. So how are we to understand this promise? Some have proposed this, and I think this is the right way to approach it, that This is a promise, but it is not the only factor to be taken into account. There are other things involved. It's not a simple equation. Honor thy father and mother equals long life. And you don't have to think about anything else. There's nothing else that goes into that. As long as you honor your parents, no matter what, you'll have a long life. It doesn't work like that. It's not such a simple equation. It is one factor among others. God has his particular plan for each one of us. I may honor my parents, but God may, in God's will, I may not live that long. God may have other plans for me. There are other things to be factored in. But nevertheless, this is an important factor, and it remains a legitimate general principle that for each individual and home and society, obedient children bring on themselves and everyone else this blessing. But where the children are disobedient and unruly, then their own lives and their society are thrown into disorder and disarray. The parents in the right position of authority, respect and honor and obedience accorded to parents in the Lord. This is part of God's provision for the right ordering of human society. This is part of God's provision for the protection and preservation and prospering of human society. And this is something that flows from the fact that God made the world. God made us. God determines how we are to live in this world. And this is part of God's design for a safe and prosperous world. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So when we go according to God's will, when we go according to God's word, we are going along with the right and perfect and best way of living. And we can therefore expect that our life will be good because we are in submission to God's will. We are walking in accordance to the design of our Creator. But if we go contrary to that, then we cannot expect to do well. We cannot expect to get very far, right? It remains a general principle that if you swim with the current, you go further than if you swim against the current. That's a general principle. Now, in certain cases, other things may come into play, but the principle remains. It's a valid and legitimate principle. If you swim against the current, you should not be expecting to get very far. Our natural tendency as fallen creatures is to swim against the current, to go against God's will, to rebel against Him, to throw off the yoke of God's dominion and authority. But as redeemed children of God, we ought to be transformed, and we ought to submit ourselves willingly to serve Him and to follow His way. So that's the general principle that we find here. Children, obey your parents in the Lord because it is right, because it is rewarded. It is God's plan. It is God's design. Therefore, there is a duty to submit to it. There is also a privilege and a joy and a blessing in submitting to it. But what about the case with many of us? We are in a particular situation. Many of us are grown up. Many of us may be young adults. We may have families of our own. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 31, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. What does this leaving of the parents mean? And how does this affect our ministry to them? What happens when a man leaves his father and mother? Must he still obey his parents? What if he does not agree with his parents about how to raise his children? Must he still submit to them and listen to everything that they say? Moreover, in a marriage, remember, it is two coming together as one. I have my parents, I have my mom, my wife has her parents. Now there are two sets of parents. What if there's a disagreement? I honor my parents, she honors her parents. Does that mean we contradict one another? Because my mom says this, her mom says that. My mom says, raise the children this way. Her mom says, raise the children that way. So how can we both honor our parents? How can we both obey our parents? Now there's a different situation, isn't there? That's not covered specifically in this passage. Paul seems to have in view this particular picture of the household with the father, the mother, and the young children. That's what Paul is dealing with, especially here. But there are principles from elsewhere in Scripture that can apply to our situation. And there are two things that we can consider in this regard. Still on the basis of these same principles, but with additional insight from the rest of Scripture, we see, first of all, certain limits of parental authority, but we see at the same time a continuation of the children's duty. First of all, the limits of this parental authority. We recognize in Scripture and in our own experience that at some point, the relationship between parent and child changes. It's not exactly the same when the child is grown up as it is when the child is young. Clearly, there is a process of maturity. We recognize this. As parents, we prepare our children one day to leave that sphere of our parental authority. We don't expect our children always to be under our authority in the same way as they are when they are very young, right? As parents, we are preparing them to go out into the world, to have families of their own, to build lives of their own. One day our children will grow to adulthood and they will take on full responsibility for their choices, for their decisions. We don't expect them always to refer all things to us. We expect them to grow and to mature. And in fact, I think one of the difficulties of modern society lies in a sort of denial of this, as others also have noted. We have this phenomenon of teenagers, which really, if you consider the whole of human history, is quite a new thing. This new category has arisen, the teenager. The teenager is someone who wants to be treated as an adult, but doesn't want the responsibilities of an adult. I want people to give me independence, to let me go my own way, but I don't want to take responsibility or full responsibility for my actions. So I'm a teenager. And I went through that phase. I'm sure many of us have gone through that phase or experienced it. But the general pattern in Scripture seems to be that it is in marriage that this full transition to adulthood occurs. Again, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife. The leaving of the parents and the joining in marriage seems to be linked. That leaving of parental authority is real. The child leaves the authority of father and mother, but it comes with responsibility. There is not this sort of nebulous phase of freedom and independence where you're answerable to no one and you can do what you like. And then eventually, you get married and then all the responsibility comes. No, as soon as you leave your parents' authority, there is that responsibility. Now you are fully answerable to God for your life, for your family. Now the man answers to God as the head of his household. He leaves his father and mother. He begins his life as a fully responsible head of the home. Now the wife answers to God for her submission to her husband. Now she's no longer under the parent's authority as before, but she must submit to her husband. She has that responsibility. So there are limits to parental authority, but we must recognize where the responsibility comes in. And we should not think that we can be independent in the sense of being irresponsible. To leave parental authority means to take responsibility fully before God for what we do and say and think. But at the same time, there is, secondly, this continuing duty to parents. It doesn't mean that now we don't care about our parents anymore. It doesn't mean we don't respect them. It doesn't mean we don't care for their advice. It doesn't mean we don't honor them anymore. There is a continuing duty of respect and reverence for our parents. This basic principle remains, parents as representing God's authority, God's plan for society. In fact, I think that's implied here in Ephesians chapter 6, even though it's not specifically mentioned. Look again at verse 3, honor thy father and mother, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. The implication is that throughout this long life, we continue to honor our parents. Even as adults, We are to honor our parents. Honor thy father and thy mother. And I think another tragedy of modern society is how commonly and how often young adults are encouraged to blame their parents. I don't know if that happens here. I've encountered it back home more than once. A young adult comes and says, look at all my problems in life. It's my parents' fault. They didn't raise me right. They didn't teach me right. Now look at all the things I have to suffer because they never prepared me properly. And I think somehow young people are being encouraged to see their parents as the source of their problems. My parents didn't teach me this. My parents treated me badly or didn't prepare me for life. My parents didn't teach me to be independent. Look at how difficult I'm finding it to deal with society. It's because my parents were too protective. My parents this, my parents that. But we ought continually to thank God for our parents, even if they haven't been perfect, even if they've made mistakes, even if they have flaws and weaknesses. Honor thy father and mother. We should be thanking God for them, despite their imperfections. And this continuing duty of children with respect to their parents certainly involves remembering and continuing to obey those good things that our parents have taught us. And I think we see this very clearly if we turn to the book of Proverbs. Look at Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. Here we read, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. A necklace, an ornament, something beautiful, something to help you, something to give glory and beauty to your life. Clearly, the son here is not a young child. He goes out into the world, but he is admonished and instructed and exhorted here to continue to remember what his parents have taught him. That parental instruction stays with him even as he leaves his parents and goes out into the world. That parental instruction stays with him and preserves him, it protects him, it helps him, it guides him, it guards him. Look at Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Receive my words. This is the father's instruction to his son. This is the parent's instruction to the child. Receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. Remember what I have taught you. Go out into the world as I have prepared you, and don't be so quick to leave these instructions. Many times I think children are looking forward to get away from their parents so that they can disobey all that their parents have said. This is what I experienced when I went to university. Many of the, well, in Singapore, we have to do national service, right? So when we go to university, we're As men, we are older than everyone else. So when I went overseas for university, all the others were 2 years younger than me. And I could see in them this happiness to get away from their parents. Now I'm in university, my parents are far away. Now I can do what I like. I don't have to listen to them anymore. But what we read here in God's word is that when we are away from our parents, that instruction should stay with us. Remember my words, hide my commandments with thee. Hear the instruction of thy father, forsake not the law of thy mother. Our parents have taught us and prepared us. We should remember what they have said. That is part of honoring our parents. And this is true even where parents are not Christians. Some of us may be in that situation. Even parents who are not Christian, by the grace of God, give sound advice and good instruction. They still love their children, they care for their children, and they teach their children good things. And even if I'm a Christian and my parents are not Christian, I should be able to recognize those good things that they have taught me and keep to that good advice and hear and heed that good instruction and thank God for it. And this continuing duty of children to parents also involves caring for them. Now, when we are grown up, we have resources of our own, we ought not to forget our parents. We look at 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8. But if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Those are strong words. He has denied the faith. If someone does not provide for those of his own house, and I believe that would include providing for our parents, it shows a kind of base ingratitude and a lack of honor and reverence for God. It brings the name of Christ into disrepute. Even infidels, Paul says, even those outside the kingdom know how to look after their family, their household, their parents. How much more for Christians? I think this is important also as we consider the trend among many so-called Christian groups, which are really cults. One of the characteristics of these cults is how they teach the members to disregard their parents, to hate their parents. They teach their members, if your parents don't agree with what the cult teaches, then you must disown your parents. Come and live with us. Move out of your parents' home. Don't talk to them. Don't visit them. Don't have anything to do with them. They will corrupt you. So get rid of your parents and come and be with us. That's a very dangerous thing. And I think it's an unbiblical thing. Scripture teaches us to honor our parents, even if they are not Christian, even if they're not believers, even if they're wrong about many things. We ought not to disregard them. We ought not to disregard our duty to honor them and care for them. Certainly, we cannot join our parents in ungodliness, in idolatry. This, I think, is another area of difficulty. In some cultures, the parents consider it part of the filial duty of their children to pray for them, to the idols, right? You've got to look after the idols in the home. And it's part of your duty to your parents. And there's some Christians I know who encourage Christian children to do this. Go along with this and use it as a kind of gospel witness. I think that is not biblical. We cannot witness to the gospel, and we cannot honor our parents by participating in idolatry. Remember what the Lord himself commands in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 37. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Now again, that of course doesn't mean that we don't love our parents or don't love our children. But it means that the only way to love father or mother, the only way to love son or daughter truly, is to love Christ most and to love Christ first. So even where our parents are not Christian, we don't participate in idolatry, we don't participate in ungodly things, but we continue to pray for our parents, honor them, receive good instruction from them, but pray for them and witness to them. And we have a wonderful encouragement in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 of how we as children can continue to pray for our unsaved parents. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 14. This is specifically referring to husband and wife, later on to the children, but it certainly applies to parents as well. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 14. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, And the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. Verse 16, for what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? And this applies to children and parents. Our parents are unbelievers. Surely there's a reason why God has saved us. And surely there is a purpose of God to witness to our parents, that we may be instruments for our parents' salvation. God does not do things by accident. God does not do things without this glorious purpose. It's God's desire for all to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And surely the Lord can use us as witnesses in our own homes as we continue to pray. And so part of honoring our parents is also to pray for them. We should not neglect and disregard the power of prayer. Remember that prayer is not something that we do merely as routine. It's not something that we do because we can't think of anything better to do. It is the most effective and most powerful thing that we can do. James reminds us, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Surely it can avail much in the realm of salvation. So let us not neglect this also. So many things for us to consider. This basic principle, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And also many other things come into play as we grow up, as we get older, as we mature, as we enter into full responsibility. We don't disregard our parents even as we leave the sphere of their authority. We continue to care for them. We continue to pray for them. We continue to remember the good things that they have taught us so that we can walk rightly and be preserved from all the evil and darkness of the world. So may the Lord help us in this. Let's close for now in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word and your instruction. Thank you for your design for human life. Thank you for the family that you have designed and made. You created us to live in families with father and mother and children. Thank you for this good provision. Thank you for our parents who have taught us many good things. Pray you will help us, those who are young, those who are older as well, to honor our parents, to remember and to thank you for them. Pray that you will guide us and give us wisdom in navigating some of the difficulties that we face, because this is a fallen world. Things are not perfect. We pray you will guide us by your word and by your spirit, that we may walk according to what is good and right and pleasing in your sight. Please be with us. Commit all this into your hands in Jesus' name. Amen.